No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill, and today is the 18th. No, it's not. It's the 19th day of November. Welcome, everyone. Today is the day. I have been teasing you for a little while about an opportunity coming up to hear from all of you and to share around this season of Thanksgiving. This is something we celebrate here in the United States. I know other countries do too. I'm just not exactly sure which ones. It's a season, a time, a day of giving thanks. But we want to make it a posture of the heart. And so stick around at the end to hear how you can be a part of that. Today we continue in the book of Acts, reading chapters 9 and 10. And this week we are reading the New Living Translation, Acts chapter 9. Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest. He requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. As he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. And the voice replied, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men with Saul stood speechless, for they heard the sound of someone's voice but saw no one. Saul picked himself up off the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he was blind. So his companions led him by the hand to Damascus. He remained there blind for 3 days and did not eat or drink. Now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he replied. The Lord said, "Go over to Straight Street to the house of Judas. When you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying to me right now. I have shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so he can see again." "But Lord," exclaimed Ananias, "I've heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem. And he is authorized by the leading priests to arrest everyone who calls upon your name." But the Lord said, "Go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to the kings, as well as to the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake." So Ananias went and found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized. Afterward, he ate some food and regained his strength. Saul stayed with the believers in Damascus for a few days. And immediately he began preaching about Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is indeed the Son of God." All who heard him were amazed. "Isn't this the same man who caused such devastation among Jesus' followers in Jerusalem?" they asked. "And didn't he come here to arrest them and take them in chains to the leading priests?" Saul's preaching became more and more powerful, and the Jews in Damascus couldn't refute his proofs that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. After a while, some of the Jews plotted together to kill him. They were watching for him day and night at the city gate so they could murder him. But Saul was told about their plot. So during the night, some of the other believers lowered him in a large basket through an opening in the city wall. When Saul arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to meet with the believers, but they were all afraid of him. They did not believe he had truly become a believer. Then Barnabas brought him to the apostles and told them how Saul had seen the Lord on the way to Damascus and how the Lord had spoken to Saul. He also told them that Saul had preached boldly in the name of Jesus in Damascus. So Saul stayed with the apostles and went all around Jerusalem with them, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. He debated with some Greek-speaking Jews, but they tried to murder him. When the believers heard about this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him away to Tarsus, his hometown. The church then had peace throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, and it became stronger as the believers lived in the fear of the Lord. And with the encouragement of the Holy Spirit, it also grew in numbers. Meanwhile, Peter traveled from place to place, and he came down to visit the believers in the town of Lydda. There he met a man named Aeneas, who had been paralyzed and bedridden for 8 years. Peter said to him, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and roll up your sleeping mat." And he was healed instantly. Then the whole population of Lydda and Sharon saw Aeneas walking around, and they turned to the Lord. There was a believer in Joppa named Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was always doing kind things for others and helping the poor. About this time, she became ill and died. Her body was washed for burial and laid in an upstairs room. But the believers had heard that Peter was nearby at Lydda, so they sent two men to beg him, "Please come as soon as possible." So Peter returned with them, and as soon as he arrived, they took him to the upstairs room. The room was filled with widows who were weeping and showing him the coats and other clothes Dorcas had made for them. But Peter asked them all to leave the room. Then he knelt and prayed. Turning to the body, he said, "Get up, Tabitha." And she opened her eyes. When she saw Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then he called in the widows and all the believers, and he presented her to them alive. The news spread through the whole town, and many believed in the Lord, and Peter stayed a long time in Joppa, living with Simon, a tanner of hides. In Caesarea, there lived a Roman army officer named Cornelius, who was a captain of the Italian regiment. He was a devout, God-fearing man, as was everyone in his household. He gave generously to the poor and prayed regularly to God. One afternoon, about 3 o'clock, he had a vision in which he saw an angel of God coming toward him. "Cornelius," the angel said. Cornelius stared at him in terror. "What is it, sir?" he asked the angel. And the angel replied, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have been received by God as an offering. Now send some men to Joppa and summon a man named Simon Peter. He is staying with Simon, a tanner, who lives near the seashore." As soon as the angel was gone, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier, one of his personal attendants. He told them what had happened and sent them off to Joppa. The next day, as Cornelius's messengers were nearing the town, Peter went up on the flat roof to pray. It was about noon, and he was hungry. But while a meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw the sky open, and something like a large sheet was let down by its four corners. In the sheet were all sorts of animals, reptiles, and birds. Then a voice said to him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat them." "No, Lord," Peter declared. "I have never eaten anything that our Jewish laws have declared impure and unclean." But the voice spoke again, "Do not call something unclean if God has made it clean." The same vision was repeated 3 times. Then the sheet was suddenly pulled up to heaven. Peter was very perplexed. What could the vision mean? Just then the men sent by Cornelius found Simon's house. Standing outside the gate, they asked if a man named Simon Peter was staying there. Meanwhile, as Peter was puzzling over the vision, the Holy Spirit said to him, "Three men have come looking for you. Get up, go downstairs, and go with them without hesitation. Don't worry, for I have sent them." So Peter went down and said, "I'm the man you are looking for. Why have you come?" They said, "We were sent by Cornelius, a Roman officer. He is a devout and God-fearing man, well respected by all the Jews. A holy angel instructed him to summon you to his house so that he can hear your message." So Peter invited the men to stay for the night. The next day he went with them, accompanied by some of the brothers from Joppa. They arrived in Caesarea the following day. Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered his home, Cornelius fell at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter pulled him up and said, "Stand up. I'm a human being just like you." So they talked together and went inside where many others were assembled. Peter told them, "You know it is against our laws for a Jewish man to enter a Gentile home like this or to associate with you. But God has shown me that I should no longer think of anyone as impure or unclean. So I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. Now tell me why you sent for me." Cornelius replied, "4 days ago I was praying in my house about this same time, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Suddenly a man in dazzling clothes was standing in front of me. He told me, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your gifts to the poor have been noticed by God. Now send messengers to Joppa and summon a man named Simon Peter. He is staying in the home of Simon, a tanner, who lives near the seashore. So I sent for you at once, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here waiting before God to hear the message the Lord has given you." Then Peter replied, "I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. In every nation he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. This is the message of good news for the people of Israel, that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after John began preaching his message of baptism. And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we apostles are witnesses of all he did throughout Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him to life on the 3rd day. Then God allowed him to appear, not to the general public, but to us, whom God has chosen in advance to be his witnesses. We were those who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead, and he ordered us to preach everywhere and to testify that Jesus is the one appointed by God to be the judge of all, the living and the dead. He is the one all the prophets testified about, saying that everyone who believes in him will have their sins forgiven through his name." Even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the message. The Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles too, for they had heard them speaking in other tongues and praising God. Then Peter asked, "Can anyone object to their being baptized now that they have received the Holy Spirit just as we did?" So he gave orders for them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Afterward, Cornelius asked him to stay with them for several days. Okay, so from yesterday to today, Saul has had a big change of heart, as we can see. Now, if you're new and you're a little confused, Saul is going to be renamed, and you may have heard of him. His name will be Paul. And Paul is the man who is responsible for writing most of the New Testament that we are in right now. He is I would argue that Saul, who we're learning about right now, who will be Paul, without him, the church as we know it today more than likely would not exist. I think I said that on our pilgrimage, and Brian said that that was more than likely safe to say, fair to say. It didn't start out that way. Saul was a persecutor of Christians, but he had what he believes was an encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. But this would not be Jesus in the flesh. This would be a vision or the spirit or however your beliefs or theology wants to name it. And it radically changes Paul. Paul is going from one who wants to imprison Christians. He wants to send them back to Jerusalem in chains, in shackles, to now being called by Jesus himself and do some very controversial things, some very risky things, and taking this message to people in places that will ultimately get Saul, now Saul, about to be Paul, killed. I don't like to give things away, but before we get a little envious of Paul's platform, of, you know, him traveling the world extravagantly, telling people about Jesus, we have to hear the language through God's word that we read today that we could just gloss right over. What the Lord said, go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to the kings as well as to the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. This is the part that we all want to avoid, that we want to scathe over, that we want to ignore. We just want the platform. We just want the notoriety. Look at me out here witnessing for Jesus. Paul is going to take some hits. He's going to take some hits from those that believe, from the religious, just as we have seen all throughout the Old Testament so far. The religious that are more concerned about the law than they are the heart of man. And as we continue the reading today, even through Peter, through Peter's ministry, from where Peter is traveling and who he is speaking to, God is expanding this message. I don't know if expanding is the right word. Fulfilling the message, fulfilling the call. This is now open to everyone. This is not just for the chosen people, the Jewish people, the once Israelites, the children of Israel, God's chosen that he set apart. This is now open for all to receive the gospel. And we see this in wording where Peter says he is the one all the prophets testified about, saying that everyone who believes in him will have their sins forgiven through his name. We have to understand that people did not want other people that were not the same people. They did not want their sins forgiven. They did not want mercy shown to them. In the same way, if you remember the story of Jonah, did not want to go to Nineveh because he knew that God would show mercy on them if they repented. This message is now being opened up for all who want to receive it. The people had a problem with this. This is where we can examine our own hearts. this is when we have to look inside and think about that person that we want there to be a special place in hell for. But why wouldn't we want a special place in heaven reserved for all who come with a repentant heart, humbly to God? Why do we want people to suffer? Why do we want eternal damnation for people that sin differently than us? It's a weighty, weighty thought. We see it here in the Gospels. Perhaps we can look within our own hearts. Jesus, we thank you for your word. Thank you for how it transforms us. Thank you for how it convicts us. We need that conviction to disrupt our thoughts, our actions, our beliefs, so that our hearts can turn towards yours. Our thoughts can be like yours, and our ways can be your ways, because you are the way, the truth, and the life. May we come into alignment with who you are. Mold us, Holy Spirit. Break us, Holy Spirit. Change us from the inside out. And I pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
So welcome back, Nat, to a Whatever This Is with Brian and
Jill.
But it is Brian and
Jill.
We're here together with you right now.
I'm so confused. I don't even know what that means. Well, this is not Whatever This Is.
No, this is just an announcement that we're doing and not a big, long discussion of.
Still Whatever This Is, because we're here doing whatever we're here to do.
So are you saying, like, whenever we're together, it's a Whatever This Is?
It should be.
So maybe we should live our lives like that. Maybe we do. Whatever this is.
Welcome to the wife and the husband's podcast.
So glad to be here with the wife today.
Oh my gosh. Gird your loins.
Okay.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, everybody. Sorry for all of this. We just want to announce something or invite something. This is kind of a call out for call-ins. And this, I mean, there is a daily audio Bible tradition that goes way back, that we have an annual Christmas party. Mm-hmm. And so those of you who have been here, like even as far as last Christmas, know that. But this has been going on for most of the whole daily audio Bible. And so, you know, those are beautiful. They're hours long, but they're beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Like one of the most beautiful things we do is to share holiday greetings with each other. But you have had a tradition at
Chronological.
And why don't you explain that tradition?
Well, you know, you get people that call in and they send their gratitude to a lot of times to you. And it's like, you know, thank you so much, Brian. You've changed my life. And those things are so sweet and honoring because you said yes. But the truth is, it's the Bible that's transforming our lives, whether we realize it or not. And we're indebted. We have a great amount of gratitude for the person that said yes and facilitated this space that we come and we get changed. I have those people along the way in my life.
You absolutely have those people. I hear those people say the same things to you. Yes.
And we get to hear as a community how we can pray for each other and rejoice for one another through the calls, which are so beautiful. But I just wanted a very concentrated place that we can hear the stories of how the Bible has transformed people's lives. Mm-hmm. Because for me, that is conducive to this holiday season of Thanksgiving that is upon us. Mm-hmm. I know that's an American-ish. I think Canada might celebrate as well.
A different day, but yeah.
I researched it once.
Words of gratitude are probably in all different cultures.
And it's great that we put a day aside, but what if it's like a posture of our heart?
Mm-hmm.
That I know you talk about that a lot. Like, mm-hmm. I'm going to focus on giving thanks and just making it a part of your day. It changes your brain. Mm-hmm. It changes the neural pathways mm-hmm. in your brain when you intentionally think about the things that you're grateful for, the people that you're grateful for that have, you know, shown light in your life, maybe when everything else was bleak and dark. And what a great way to be able to hear our stories with each other of how the Bible transformed our lives. Sometimes, okay, we call this a safe space.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I have witnessed that it is a safe place.
Mm-hmm.
People will call in and confess things.
Yeah.
And it blows my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And it's rare, like, it's not met with shame or judgment or like, you idiot. You mm-hmm. know, I think it's how it should be.
Yeah.
And so sometimes just to hear those stories, it gives us the courage to really go inward in our own story.
Yeah.
And go, okay, maybe I could share some of the things that I have came out of, where God has brought me out of. That's kind of hard to do.
Yeah.
When you've been in a church setting your whole life.
Yeah, where there's not a lot of grace. There's a lot of judgment practiced, yeah.
So, you know, we have all walks of life here. And, man, the ones that get me are the people straight out of prison.
Mm.
Ah.
Yeah.
I just love to hear people's stories.
Yeah. And so you've had this tradition.
Yeah.
Chronological to do this around the American Thanksgiving time.
Mm-hmm. And so yeah, I didn't want to step on your toes with Christmas and...
Yeah. And so this year, we're kind of combining our efforts.
Yeah.
And who knows, making new traditions. But this is our 20th year
mm-hmm.
at this. And I counted it up, you know, like 7,300 plus days
mm-hmm.
to do this in a row. And
7,368.85. Who's counting?
I think when we're done, it'll be 7,305.
Oh, okay.
But who's counting? I guess we counted day by day, step by step. But we thought, let's do what you're talking about
mm-hmm.
in a very specific context, and let's do it across both chronological and daily audio Bible. Let's do this together as a larger community. And that basically is, you know, what is your campfire story?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're 20 years into this, and so... There are those of you who are listening for, this is your first week.
Yeah.
And then there are those of you who are listening that have been here for 5 years or 10 years. And then there are those of you who have been here like the whole time.
The whole time.
And you were here on day one.
Mm-hmm.
And so what has the story been for you as you've navigated and traveled the journey here around the campfire as a community? What has the Bible meant in your life, the way that it's done here in the community? Mm-hmm. What has the Daily Audio Bible represented in your life? What's the story that we've all walked through together with you as mm-hmm. a community?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right, because there are some aspects of the Bible being so transformative. Specifically, there are probably stories of where the community has been transformative in people's stories. So it's, we want to hear that this is your space to do that.
Yeah. And man, what a commemorative.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to listen. I'm already choked up to think about it. I was thinking about it earlier, like, wow, what this will be to sit and listen for a couple of hours.
Mm-hmm. We're going to have to go on a long drive.
Yeah. So yeah, this is the call out for call-ins. What is your campfire story? And we're going to stitch these all together and do kind of like we do. at the Christmas party. We're still going to have the Christmas party.
Yeah. This right is not now, replacing.
At this point in, you know, Thanksgiving, time of gratitude, just as a commemorative of 20 years at this.
Yeah.
Just call in and say who you are and where you're from and how long you've been around and what's your campfire story.
Now, this is a big... There's a big boundary here that we have to put in place because there's a lot of people. Mm-hmm. You have to keep the call to 2 minutes.
Yeah, one yeah.
You one can't call per like, person. Like, if you can't get it in 2 minutes, you can't call back five times. Right, it's not going to cut it.
It won't get in at all. Like, it's, yeah, because of how much participation, it's like, do this in 2 minutes.
And so maybe a good... rule of thumb is like, hey Siri, set an alarm for 2 minutes and practice it. Like, we have to practice things all the time. It's like, oh, that didn't cut it. Let's take it again. So practice it.
Yep. So that's,
write it out.
That's one of the things to point out. The other thing to point out is we're going to be using the prayer and encouragement lines. So whether that's the hotline button in the app or whether you call in, don't combine like a prayer request or an encouragement along with your campfire story. Make those separate things. Otherwise, we just really do not have the capacity to kind of edit and knit together. So keep things separate if you're calling in a prayer request or encouragement. But we invite you at this point for like the next week. We're opening it up for you to call in your stories. And we're looking forward very, very much to hearing your stories as we continue to kind of sit here in awe and think 20 years every day. So
you can go ahead and use the same means of hotline number for whichever channel or avenue that you're used to calling. So if your daily audio Bible, you can call
877-942-4253. And if you're calling chronological,
800-583-2164. And we're just going to combine them.
Or you can use the hotline in the app. And actually, wherever you can send them to chronological or Daily Audio Bible, they'll get to where they're going.
And the same... the same beautiful message will be on both podcasts. So you're not going to miss one and have to go listen. Of course,
and
if you
don't
you
have
want
to call
to.
The same call in to both of them.
Right.
It's all going to be a combined large community effort.
You can listen both channels if you would like to, but they're going to play.
But don't call into both channels.
Don't, please, please don't call into both channels. Just one spot and it'll get there.
Yep. So that's the call out for call-ins.
I like that.
What is your campfire story? And I guess that's the announcement.
Yeah.
So let's get out of here. We've been spending a lot of time with you guys, and we've enjoyed it all. But today we want to be a little more brief.
Yeah.
And give you space and time to call in. Don't be a straggler.
Yeah, don't.
Because when we kind of have to cut it off, we have to cut it off. And so call in today. And that's it for today. I'm Brian.
I'm Jill.
We love you.
We'll be waiting for you here
tomorrow.